I'll just make sure I have, you know, no debts in life. I'm not really a big car person or anything like that. I've always invested to buy my time back, and, you know, I'll stay by that.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we chat with Scott O'Neill, winner of Your Investment Property Strategic Investor of the Year and founder of Rethink Investing. O'Neill shares with us his current position in his property journey, having moved from residential to commercial property, his own experiences with the two types, and his future plans. Having just returned from holiday in Europe, O'Neill is excited to dive straight back into property.
Went over to Europe for 3 months. So we just, same old story. We've been living off the income of the properties, and it just gives you a good little break to go away and come back refreshed. And yeah, there's all sorts of things changing with the property market. So it's good to be kept on the toes, and yeah, just looking forward to the next challenges.
Since his last appearance on the podcast, O'Neill has grown his portfolio by almost $7 million and transitioned into commercial property.
Can't remember. I think we had about $11 million at the time. We're now up to $18 million, just under. So four out of the last five properties I bought were commercial. And I also bought a family home to live in. So commercial's the big difference. When we spoke last, we were very focused on high growth residential with good cash flow that creates equity for the next one. These days, I'm more and more interested in commercial because the cash flow is superior, the tenants are better, the leases are longer, and you wouldn't believe it, but the dollar for dollar, you get better value out of commercial, and that's just because lending can be a little bit trickier. So, $500,000 in commercial is a better property than a $500,000 residential. Just generalizing, and it's good for debt reduction. You know, these properties will pay themselves off, you know, in a number of years. And I like that because you're not having to play the markets, worry about if it goes up or down. You're literally just sitting on a nice solid lease, and that will pay you an income.
O'Neill's clients have also experienced the ease of property investment.
Like, I had a client that he bought two properties. He'd never bought properties before this, so he spent a total of $780,000 split between two properties. He had a 70% loan on each. The returns after all costs, after maintenance, interest, literally every cost, he was getting about $42,000 a year passive income just from those two properties. He had to come up with 30% deposits, but, you know, like, the numbers don't lie. Like, that's a great start for retirement. Like, he's just obsessed of getting the third one, hopefully get another 20. You know, and then, you know, you're not far off $100,000 passive income without spending, you know, $10 million, for instance. You're getting in at a low price point. That's why it's been popular.
Having now dabbled a bit in commercial property, O'Neill has a few industries he'd like to invest in.
So I've dabbled in medical, like little medical centres, convenience stores, / sort of small supermarkets, warehouses in well-located areas. And, you know, for clients, we've been looking at all sorts of things from $180,000 warehouses to, you know, $10 million shopping centres. And, you know, there's also, you know, you can go unlimited in this space. It really depends on your strategy. But I stick to well-located capital city-type properties, you know, three-year leases minimum, sometimes five, sometimes 10. The tenant needs to pay all your outgoings. You've got to have confidence that there's some relettability to it. So if the tenant goes, you can find a new one. And, you know, there's all sorts of things you can look into, like the fit-out costs. I like dentists, for instance, because they've got very costly fit-outs that make them fairly stable. So they're not going to go move their office just because you raise their rent up 5%. They're going to stay because it might cost them $300,000 to move. So they're the types of things we're looking into. And to be honest, like, there's more and more competition every day. Like, we were buying quite heavily 2 years ago for clients, and the difference in competition, even in the last 2 years, I reckon it's up fivefold. You know, deals are going quick. You can't sit on your hands like you used to. On the flip side, the residential markets are quite cool at the moment. They're not really, you know, some markets are hot, like your Tasmanian markets, but you're just not seeing the same increased activity. And that's pushed me more and more towards commercial from a personal point of view and a business point of view. And yeah, I think we'll stick on this track long term.
Okay. So I'm curious, for people who don't know too much about what's happening in the market, what have been sort of the target type of properties you've been going for? You obviously mentioned commercial. What are the other ones that you would be looking at?
Yeah, so the other ones are low entry point distressed sales, capital city. So your sub $500,000, you know, land properties. So it might be a 3 or 4 bedroom house or a block. And we're buying up to 80% of these properties off market these days. So there's a lot of distressed sales out there. And when the agents know you because you've been buying for years, they come to you for quick sales. There's no marketing campaigns. There's no 6-12 week, you know, walkthrough campaigns either. It's a quick deal. It might be because it's a divorce sale, or maybe the, you know, there's someone in the house that's lost his job and he needs the deposit out of his house and he just needs to put a, you know, a quick sale on it and doesn't want a big signpost out the front saying sold or for sale. You know, that's embarrassing to a lot of people. So quick offline deals will mean you can pick them up between 5% and 10% below market value, and they're quite conservative numbers. You very rarely get more than 10%, but on a 500 grand property, that's 50 grand below market value, which is a great start into equity, and the cash flow is quite good on those ones. And along that, you just need to be very confident the market's rising. So all the normal basic residential things, you need infrastructure spending, population growth, rising incomes, tight vacancy rates, all of that stuff, plus more. And they are great little investments. The purchase prices or the buy-in deposits required are quite minimal.
With growth in Sydney's property market stabilising, Anil recommends turning to development as well.
Like, we've got clients with as little as 45,000, 40,000 coming in, being able to buy a property. And that the rest is loaned, but that covers the deposit, the stamp duty, solicitor fees, you know, building reports, etc. And the other thing that's really been working, and that this is a sign of the times, with Sydney and Melbourne dropping quickly at the moment. I think Sydney's dropped at its fastest rate since 1990. So people are a little bit wary that the growth that we used to be able to expect is no longer here. So you've got to be a little bit more active. And the development side of things are definitely growing. And you mentioned you were into developments. We are too. We're a little bit more focused on quick turnaround development. So you buy a duplex site, you know, build it, and then you strata title it, and you can sell one side off or the other. The good thing is the banks actually are lending against the future value of these properties too. So you can, you know, you've got to come up with a 20% deposit plus cost, but you know, once you strata title it, you get the bank out there and you can pull out 80% of the new value. And that could be 100, 200 grand more. And that's enough to then bankroll into the next property. And the great thing about duplexes is the yield is really good. So with many other types of developments, they're going to be a lot longer drawn out. But there's, you know, the yield left over with a finished product is sometimes not what you want. It's too low because you're relying on the profit to sell. But duplexes, you might be out getting a 6-7% gross yield on the final product. So that gives you the ability to just to hold onto it and hopefully wait 5 years, wait for it to grow even more, and you'll make even more money if you can do that.
Unlike residential property investing, it is much more challenging to find quality commercial properties.
Biggest challenge by far is finding quality stock. So there is a hell of a lot of properties out there that have no tenants, or there's a tenant leaving, or it's overpriced, or there's just something wrong with it. We're finding it, our biggest challenge is just finding a property with a good lease, a good tenant, and it's well located at the right price. There's far less stock out there. Residential, there's hundreds of times the stock out there. Commercial, it can be slim picking. So you just really got to be quick when a good one comes up. And, you know, we generally buy a property within a day. So no individual buyer can really compete with that, especially if we've got a 24-hour head start. And even then we lose a lot of good deals. It's a frustrating space, but when you do pull the deals off, you get, you know, the deal of the year. It feels like it every time. And it's exciting. The rents are good. And, you know, if you buy a property with a 5-year lease and just put all that surplus cash back into the loan, even in 5 years, you've half paid it off. And, you know, give it another 5 years, you're almost there and you haven't chipped in any of your own money. And this is why retirees love it. People who are just getting close to leaving the workforce. Super fund purchases, it's a great product to put in, you know, as a general comment, into a super fund because it's passive, the cash flow is great. You know, you don't need to do any work on them. And yeah, it's just a challenge to find those types of properties because they're not, you know, growing on trees. And the best way to think of that is if you own a commercial property yourself and it's got a good lease, a good tenant, even if you lose your job, that's probably the last thing you're going to sell. You're going to hold on to it. So do people selling these properties, they're normally two types of people. There are older people cashing out, squaring debt off forever, or someone else who's consolidating their funds just to put it into some type of development or bigger commercial property or something along those lines. So there's not a great selection. And, you know, the rest is fairly standard to residential, I guess.
However, O'Neill believes there are many benefits to investing in commercial properties over residential.
So the benefits of commercial, longer leases, they're much quieter investments. Like my commercial properties, they're already my favourite ones because I don't hear anything from them. I've got a lot of residential properties and every morning I wake up, there's an email saying there's an aircon that needs replacing or a hot water tank or tenants left. Like it gets draining when you own a lot over many years, but the commercials, I don't even know I own them. They just, I literally, it's like a cost center. It just drops some money in your bank account once a month and the tenant looks after all the insurances, maintenance, everything. You actually don't even need a rental manager half the time because it's a direct debit setup from the tenant themselves. So imagine doing that with a residential property. You know, within 1 month, they wouldn't pay their rent.
O'Neill prefers the commercial space due to its large profits and simplicity. He also believes it is now easier to get into that than in the past.
I much prefer that space from you know, just simplicity point of view. And finance is actually not too bad. It used to be you'd got to pay a percent or so more compared to a residential rate for a commercial. But for instance, like all my personal commercial loans are on 4.69%. Loans, and that's the same as my residential. So it's kind of like for like these days. ANZ have been doing 20% deposits. So normally it was a minimum of 30% for this space. Now that's not for every type of property or every client, but it's interesting to see the banks are loosening up in this space. And it's probably in the face of the troubles the banks are finding with APRA and the Bank of Royal Commission. They're getting punished in that side, but the banks still want market share. They still need to make money. So they're going for a little bit more market share in commercial, I think. You know, I'm not in the banks myself, but I am seeing commercial lending getting a little bit easier. And, that's been a big change in the last couple of years. And, you know, the rates are quite healthy. They're comparable to residential now. So that just makes the benefits of commercial even better because you get extra yield with less, you know, the same cost as a residential loan. You know, there's, you know, if you can afford the bigger deposit, it's, you know, to me at least, like in many cases, it's a no-brainer to have a look into this space, at least explore it.
O'Neill bought his first commercial property in Perth, and despite Perth's slow market, it was a huge success.
It was a convenience store in it was basically two properties. It was a convenience store and a fish and chip shop in Perth. Had a really high yield, 10% plus net return, and it was my first time into it, and it felt like I was buying my first property, even though I've helped hundreds of clients buy residential properties before that period, before that time. It felt new, felt a bit scary. So I do understand why people are reluctant to get into this space, because we're told of the horror stories with long vacancies and whatnot. And I basically took the plunge because I felt like a convenience store and a fish and chip store, especially in a suburban area, is fairly recession-proof. You know, like Perth is in a pretty bad state in the property market. It has been since 2012. But these businesses tick along. And if anything, when the markets aren't doing too great, there's probably more people going down to buy their food from a convenience store and, you know, that keep money will flow into these businesses continually. Like they sell cigarettes, they make money from that. There's all sorts of little you know, convenience revenues they get, and that property just kept growing. And there's a 4% increase on my lease, and that's guaranteed growth, because as the rent increases, the value of a commercial is determined, you know, from the type of asset and the net yield it returns. So as that net yield grows, so does your property. So even if the residential markets are falling off a cliff, dropping 10% per annum, if you're getting a 4% increase and your rent's still at market level, you're going to get an increase in equity. And that's what I like about commercial.
However, Anil's first commercial property was only a success after intense research about it in the commercial space.
You can research your way past the market in many cases. And you know, if the economy tanks, there's always, you know, there might be other impacts, but you're protected from it by, you know, a lot more than you ever would be in residential, because it's just these are specific properties. You're buying the tenant and the quality of the property, and you know that was the first daunting step into it. And I quickly realized after about 3 months that the rent came in like clockwork. Never heard from it. I renegotiated a longer lease on it. The bank liked that. And that was like the light bulb moment to go, this is not as hard as people think. Don't get me wrong, I asked 1,000 questions, called up, you know, everyone I knew. Like it wasn't just I just bought a property. It was a hell of a lot of research before. But, and I even got told by half the people not to buy it. Now, I remember I was actually I was overseas in Greece when I was buying this one. And I met two people from Perth at the time, and I told them I was thinking about buying a, you know, that's how many people I'd ask. Like I'd be at a, you know, you chat to some random people, find out where they live, and then ask them about the property market. And they laughed at me when I said I was thinking about going into commercial in Perth. They said, have you seen the market? It is falling. It's got a long way to fall. Like they, you know, they viewed me as a young person that didn't really know too much about it. So they were trying to protect me. But, you know, that property is been one of the better cash flow properties I've got in my portfolio. It gives me over $30,000 a year in the pocket, and that's been growing every year. It's been about 3 years I've had it. So that's $90,000 of passive income I've just collected for doing nothing.
Have you had any issues or stories about where things haven't gone right with commercial property in your portfolio since you own so many now?
Not personally. Look, with the company with Rethink Investing, we've bought about 300 commercial properties. We've only ever had two go vacant in that. Those two that went vacant were from expanding businesses. So it's not always a bad business. Sometimes businesses can grow too quick, and that. So you need to research into that, like the age of the, you know, the tenant operating it. Like you've got to understand all those dynamics. And you know, there was about 3 months vacancy on each of those. So it's not too bad. But, you know, if you buy the wrong type of property, so some of the risks to watch out for, it's called a sale leaseback. So let's say there's a tenant that owns the property. They're going to sell it for cash flow reasons. They need it for their business expansion or whatever it is. And then they'll rent back off you. More often than not, the rent is inflated.
Coming up after the break, we'll continue our conversation with Scott O'Neill as he shares the time where he almost made a failed purchase in commercial property.
It was a $50,000 a year like restaurant that was the rent they were paying. And, I got excited, nearly, you know, got right into it. I was basically putting verbal offers in on it.
His future plans with commercial property?
I've got 28 properties currently, but I think in 10 years I'll have around 10. But they're going to be a different 10, and they're going to be higher quality commercial properties with low debt level.
How his business mentors have helped him?
Two most important, mortgage broker and accountant for me. The accountant sets your structures up, make sure you're protected in every way. Obviously, complete taxes and do that in an efficient way.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Anil shares a story on how he almost bought into a failed commercial property.
I remember looking at this property in Hobart. It was showing about a 10% return. It was a $50,000 a year like restaurant. That was the rent they were paying. And, I got excited, nearly, got right into it. I was basically putting verbal offers in on it. And then I started just researching the square meter rates for other similar businesses in the area. And they were paying roughly double. So if we paid $500,000 for it at a 10% net yield, the real rent was probably around the $25,000 to $30,000. So we could have overpaid that by well over $200,000 just because there was a dodgy set up with the rent. So unfortunately, about a week after I stopped talking to that agent, that property sold for under $500,000. So some poor person went out there and they've thrown hundreds of thousands of dollars away. And no doubt that tenant's just going to somehow stop paying rent and vanish. And then you're left with this overpriced property. So it's not a space to go into if you're green or you don't have the time to do research. It's more complicated. Residential, you know, it's easier to get your head around it because people understand it. They know dynamics of what people want to live in and vacancy rates, et cetera. But commercial, you've got to understand the trends of the businesses, like medical's growing, storage, for instance, because a lot of, online type companies, less manufacturing. That means more importing for Australia. So well-located warehouses, smaller ones, not too big, are doing quite well. Rents are increasing, therefore capital growth is coming. And then all the usual stuff like the childcares, the supermarkets, all those big long leases are in demand because you've got a lot of the super fund crew, baby boomers, looking for safe haven assets. And as more and more of them lose confidence in the share market, like it has been lately, there's going to be more people get pushed towards this space, even if they didn't initially want to. It is safe when you invest in the right property. But if you go buy a 3,000 square meter warehouse in, middle of a regional city, and that goes vacant, it could be vacant for 2 years. So commercials are not all the same, obviously.
As for his future plans on his property journey, Anil is planning to sell down but buy into high-quality commercial properties.
I'll probably sell down my least favourite residential slowly. I've got a lot up in Brisbane, so I'll sit on the Brisbane properties. Maybe in 5 years, if that market's done quite well, I'll sell off a property or two or three. And I'm just going to transition more and more into commercial. Like, I've got 28 properties currently, but I think in 10 years I'll have around 10, but they're going to be a different 10 and they're going to be higher quality commercial properties with low debt levels. I think that is what investing is all about. It's about the income you receive. If I'm getting a really nice large income every month hitting the bank account, you actually don't care what capital growth, is coming out of it because you're not going to refinance or sell at some point. Capital growth actually does become irrelevant once you get to a certain stage, unless you want to be, debt riddled your whole life and continually leverage up. That's got a shelf life. You're always at the mercy of banks. You need that at the start. It's the only way for the average income person to acquire a number of assets. And if you sit on those assets for 10, 20 plus years, you're going to do very well. You'll get ahead of the rest of the population that doesn't. So debt is vital. It's the only way to get ahead unless you're getting an enormous income. Once you've made the money, start transitioning into stuff like this, commercials, even have a go at developing. There's many different angles you can go. But it's a way of paying debt off, and I'm looking forward to it. To be honest, have just a few different properties. They're going to be higher value, lower debt, all that kind of stuff. It's a space that I'll be in for sure.
Say you still have the asset of say $18 million of A, probably worth more in 10 years time, and you're getting a 10% return. That could potentially be worth $1.8 million worth of income coming in. What would you do with that much money coming in?
Well, I'd obviously, once all the debt's gone, good question. I'll just make sure I have, you know, no debts in life. I'm not really a big car person or anything like that. I've always invested to buy my time back, and, you know, I'll stay by that. Like, I'll probably buy a little property in Greece somewhere. So, you know, we've got a place there, and yeah, obviously you pass it on to your kids and that set them up for the future. Like, that's where I want to go. I don't think there's any sense just, you know, forever chasing the dream. Like, you do it as a hobby, and, you know, I'll always do my business because I love it, and, you know, we'll just sort of just do what we want to do type of thing rather than have to do it.
You know, all that side of things, you've got, you know, family home now, you've got a portfolio of commercial property and residential. What's next?
I'd probably just start a family. We bought a house, typical worst house on the best street. So you know, divorce sale. It was, I think we got it nearly half price, to be honest. So when we do rebuild on this, it's going to be a good little, you know, it's a way into a higher grade property that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to afford. So, you know, we'll be talking to sort of architects and looking forward to that little, you know, adventure. It's probably going to be a frustrating one doing a build that you live in, no doubt. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And just focus more on the business. We want to keep growing. We've been the fastest growing buyers agency, according to the Financial Review, for the last 2 years in a row. So, you know, that's been great fun sort of keeping that going. And, you know, we just want to help other clients do the same. And I do, you know, as corny as it sounds, you do get a massive kick out of helping people, you know, take these steps, whether it's the first time buyer or someone who's got 10 properties already and they're finally taking the plunge into commercial or developing. They, you know, it's, you know what it was like for you in that space. And, you know, I would have appreciated, you know, advice at the time. And, you know, I got it, just I had to get it from many different sources rather than one or two. So, yeah, I do appreciate looking after people and everything like that. So that's going to be the same. We'll continue that and hopefully we'll keep growing.
Despite all his success in property investment, Anil doesn't have property mentors, rather appreciates mentors on the business side of things.
I've got a couple of business ones, like my accountant, for instance. He's been, you know, he's very close to home. Like, he will help me with all sorts of pieces of advice with the business and even second glance over properties from a numbers point of view. But I don't really have any property mentors or, you know, that type of stuff. It's really self-driven. I just like property, and because of that, I can put extra time into it that others may not be able to. So, yeah, it's, you know, my father in the early days was great. He was, you know, very negative on property. Like, he had, you know, some incidents where he made money and also lost money. So it was always good to hear the worst case scenario, because parents always try to protect you. And, you know, he was there to say, you know, show me what's wrong with certain properties. So that gave me an eye for picking properties apart. You know, I'd look at something and go, there's a whole lot wrong with that. And it's just because I had that negative mindset about properties. And half the reason I've been able to grow a portfolio this large is I haven't had a big mistake moment yet, touch wood. We've done all right, like, from the start. And just having a setback in a portfolio can put you years behind. So if you're going to avoid having a setback, that's a big part of the equation to get ahead. And a lot of, I don't like the comments about, you know, you've got to fail. You know, it's got some logic in business, but you don't fail in property. It's too expensive. It's going to push you back years, and you're going to need a lot of good decisions just to break even. So, yeah, there's a time for that, but not in property.
As for the most important people helping him with the technicalities of property investment, Anil credits his mortgage broker and accountant.
Two most important, mortgage broker and accountant for me. The accountant sets your structures up, make sure you're protected in every way. Obviously, complete taxes and do that in an efficient way. And the mortgage broker, when they're a good one, that does everything, commercial, residential developments. Hopefully, they're like the guy I use is a very experienced investor himself. He's been a great asset too because he's, you know, the one helping you get finance for these properties. And I see so many clients just use their local suburban mortgage broker who is used to just doing vanilla four-bedroom homes. As soon as you start getting into larger portfolios or doing more complicated stuff, they just get left behind. And their mortgage brokers often tell them not to do stuff. And my mortgage broker will tell me not to as well, but it'll be for a good reason, not just because they don't understand it. And you need a good team around you for property. Obviously, like really trusted builders on the ground, property managers, all the usual people you need for property are still there with both commercial and residential.
But O'Neill ultimately believes that it is up to the individual to make good investment decisions and acquire success through property investment.
At the end of the day, it's really on you though. You just got to take the opinions of all these different people and ask a lot of questions. You got to put the time in, which that's the hardest bit. People, I don't know the actual stat, but there was an article out a little while ago that people put many times the hours into picking their car compared to their investment property because there's more interest in it. So an investment property could be worth, you know, many, many, many times the value of the most expensive car you ever buy, yet you'll invest a lot more time into picking the right car. So that, you know, that's a good message. You just need to put the time into it and there's no shortcuts in it. It's not rocket science. You just got to really be on the ground and pick a good deal, and there's no mentor that really can show you. You just got to be there to capitalize on it.
For those who'd like to learn more about O'Neill and his property journey, you can contact him via email or phone.
Best way is our email at info@rethinkinvesting.com.au. Or if you prefer to call, it's 1-300-965-551. And we can walk you through all these different investment strategies from the distressed sales to duplex developments or the commercial side. We'll sort of be your mentor in any of these directions.
Thank you to Scott O'Neill, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey or past episodes, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com.